Irina, it didn't go for some reason. Okay, let me just do it one more time. My name is Gary Fowler. I'm the CEO, president, and founder of GSD Get Shit Done Venture Studios, or Premier AI and Quantum Venture Studio, located in the heart of Silicon Valley. I'm a 17-time serial entrepreneur with several unicorns under the belt. I was on the original management team at Click Software, which was sold to Salesforce for $1.35 billion, and also Eva.ai, an AI-HR tech company that I co-founded with Dr. David Yang. We believe at GSD that intellectual capacity is evenly spread around the world, but opportunities are not. We love the democratization of opportunity and believe that we need to make this world a bit better place. Today, we have 153 companies inside of GSD from 59 countries. With that, I want to go back through one more time. So my friend Irina Litchfield is a principal of Lumeria, a disruptive holding company that is at the forefront of where capital meets innovation. Her diverse background in fintech, blockchain, and space industries has equipped her with unique insights into economic transitions and the impact of business breakthroughs. She co-founded a US-based Bitcoin exchange 10 years ago and built a retail bank in Mexico. She's deeply involved in the new space and defense tech industries and dedicated to democratizing opportunities, advocating for the right to work, and drive for passion in innovation. So with that, I'd like to bring my good friend Irina on board. Hi, Irina.
Hi, yeah, Gary.
When I did it, I didn't turn it on. That's crazy. So anyhow, it's good to see you today. So tell me, what's happening in Irina's world?
Well, so much happening in Irina's world because, you know, I live in the world of us humans and there's so much excitement happening. So I'm finishing my grad school, executive graduate program. I have two more months. And then I'm done. It's an executive program for global management for space business and policy. So it's the only one in the world.
Where is it, Irina?
It's Thunderbird School of Business. So ASU, Arizona State University. So they're kind of spearheading the executive training for business and policy.
That's great.
It's been really interesting to see myself go back to school and being the rebel that I am.
But it
really is really amazing. I mean, my space finance was taught by Steve Shin, who is a deputy CFO of NASA. So this is the type of a caliber of the education that I'm receiving. I feel like I'm in a boutique with a special treatment, just getting inserted all of the knowledge that maybe I relied on others to do and practical skills, get outside of box and get those done myself. So I was a crypto superwoman. So now I'm, I don't know.
Now you're a space superwoman.
Whatever is more.
So what's, so was it online or was it in person?
It's a hybrid model. It's an executive program, so it's densed up instead of a two-year program. It's a one-year program. Then every other weekend, there are weekend classes. Every other one of them is in person in Phoenix. And then there are one, two, three, four different sessions when we actually travel as a group and do immersive experience.
That's interesting. So was it hard?
It's challenging enough to get me interested and occupied. I think a regular program would not work for me. I would get too bored, too slow, not enough challenge. So, but you know, I like complicated things. I like things that get me outside of that comfort zone. So, the answer, I guess, is yes.
Did you have a lot of homework to do between the sessions? Did you have a lot of work to do?
A lot of assignments, but they're really practical assignments. And what I really like about it, because I already have a handful of projects that I'm working on and really objectives that I'm moving forward, it's really nice because I can apply them and work through that. But I think the hardest one was the assignments for the finance, because it was the cost estimation. A lot of it was the cost estimation. Which which usually I kind of like have somebody else do, and then I can review the document, you know. This time I had to do it, so it was really lovely. I enjoyed it.
Now, did you use a lot of ChatGPT?
You know, AI, ChatGPT is intimate part of my reality. And it has been for over a year. It is something that I use for everything because it does allow me to feedback myself. I like to say that the unfiltered way that I can have the communication, and you know, in all of my different chats, I can go back and add and delete and you know, improve. And if I have an idea, I can just insert it into the chat and expand on it or shrink it and manipulate it. So I mean, it, like I said, it's a GPT chat is an intimate part of my reality in all aspects. Like even my daughter right now, she's about to have her birthday. She's planning her Harry Potter mystery murder. So she's working with GPT chat to help her create the program, make sure, you know, do all kinds of things, even family experiences, you know, like your little suggestions of what you can do as a family. We're using that. So we're all the way in.
Well, that's great. I love hearing that. Yeah. You know, I've been talking about it, generative AI, since 2016, when we did Evo.
I know.
It was kind of interesting because people said, oh, it's never going to happen. And then July 21st, 2020, I wrote that article about GPT-3. And people said, oh, this is out in the future. It's 20 years out. We're never going to see it. And now people are saying, oh, I'm using it. I'm using prompts. And it's like, it's so amazing, actually, to see the world's changed.
Yeah, I find it really interesting I'm not surprised that I'm using it, obviously, you know, that I'm integrating because I integrate everything, right? But my mom, and she's well into 70s, she has some health issues, and it's been a little bit challenging for her to express herself to doctors to make sure that she can communicate, you know, the exact points that she wants. And especially with the translation here in US. And so I obviously got her on, and I mean, she also now has all of the chats, and she said, I have never imagined that a little tool like that, because it's just on the internet, you know, that can be such a help to me. And she now doesn't need any help in communication. She can go and do research and analysis herself. She takes all of the things that she reads and used to take notes in. She inputs them, she categorizes them. And then when she meets with a doctor, she can speak to the point. And then also if she has a question, she can ask a question in the GPT chat. And then it translates for her within the mindset of the doctor, which is what I love. It's not just that you Google the question, right? It's that I am talking to this doctor and this is the things that I want to ask. What is the best way to ask in English? And then it does it.
Now, she put it in Russian?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now she's got her superpowers.
She has superpowers. She feels unlocked. You know, for the longest time, I've been talking to her and trying to get her to change her diet. And, you know, I talked to her about being metabolizing the ketones and, you know, kind of changing the pattern. And with the chat, she just adjusted her behavior on her own. She said, I feel like it knows me and understands me.
There you go. It's becoming a friend, you know, like your grandmother that cares about you and loves you and you can ask questions to. Yeah, no, you can go down through. It's interesting. You can send them an analysis on emails. If somebody sends something to you, you can understand what the real meaning of that is, right?
Yeah.
And how to be able to respond accordingly.
Yeah. I mean, I think that one of the most interesting things is that we live in a the complex of human beings is so hard, and we are so conditioned to And those conditions are maybe sometimes even manipulations. And some people are unaware that they are, for example, using practices that are, you know, that are blocking them off from progress. And you can literally just go and upload your communication and say, what behavior patterns am I exercising? What do I need to know about myself? How can I improve this? How do I communicate this in a way that gets me to those results? I mean, you would have to have an army of psychologists and analysts to follow you. And they would probably even argue because they have their own conditions.
Yeah, no, that's right. You know, it gives you self-reflective. It's like talking to yourself and getting expert advice. I made an avatar of myself so I could talk to myself through a couple of the tools. And so ChatGPT, we created the multimodal, multi-agent LLM, and I put my own avatar in front of it. So I could talk to myself and start asking myself questions, and in my voice, by the way. It was really, really, so you're talking to yourself and asking yourself questions, but then you have all the knowledge of the planet Earth in front of you. So it's your voice, your kind of sentiment, but with the knowledge of, you know, superpowers, right?
Yeah. It's almost like we're moving closer and closer to the I am awareness and observer observing the observer in a way.
Yeah, you're right. And the thing is, it's like we're going down to the fundamentals of life. I see this targeted bioscience research it's done. I see this, supply chain. I mean, everything. It's like packed in everything. It's going to be interesting to see what there's 187 languages on the planet, and now being able to communicate in each one of them, and the kind of sentiment and tone and empathy that that particular culture wants, that changes things. It's amazing, actually.
Yeah. The cultural integration, I think, is, I think if when we see the wider spread of the technology and availability, I really, really think that we will see that democratization of opportunities. I mean, it's interesting because there are a number of people that have been kind of excelling in the reality, right? Like it's like anything they touch turns to gold, and it's a group of people. And I was actually reflecting on it and thinking, if you had this tool accessible to you 5 years ago, 3 years ago, before we humble nobodies, had access to them, I can see how you could really just excel all of the ideas.
Because
you go in and test it out and see, even just saying, okay, I want to send this email, and you have the same content, but you need to send it to 3 different people, maybe like it's a government representative, maybe it's a military person, and then maybe it is an investor. Though the same language, it has to be different language. It just does it for you. So I can see why we have been going through quantum leap almost in a lot of ways. I do think that the technology is helping us be better.
Yeah, you're right. And, it's and the evolution of it's unbelievable. I have like 4,000 prompts I use now for all kinds of different things. And I have those things and I've been orchestrating, like I feel like a maestro being able to orchestrate them. And the kind of things that, it's just amazing. I actually use it for everything. So, when if I have a question about something, somebody sent me a message yesterday, and I had a question about that message. What's the real intent? And I ran it through ChatGPT, and I said, well, what should be the response? And I said, based on this, this, and this, and it went back through and it said, here could be a potential response. And it wrote it out for me, and it was better than it would have taken me a week to go down through and think of this thing. And I did it in seconds. It's incredible. So talk to me. You're in what's going on with space right now, Irina? I mean, there's so much, so many opportunities out there, but what's really happening, in terms of the space digital infrastructure, how is it? Is it growing? Is it a big opportunity, a little opportunity? What do you think?
Well, so first of all, in-space digital infrastructure is non-existent. It just does not exist. Everything that we have in space is controlled from the Earth. Now, we're not that far away from Earth, so it hasn't been a problem. But as we're starting to get further and further away, it is going to be important. Also, what's interesting is that as the assets, satellites, space assets, as the traffic is becoming more tense, for the lighter use of word, it is also becoming more important to be able to have real time on site communication, right? And interactiveness of the devices. So for now, it doesn't exist, mm-hmm. which you can imagine is a huge concern of mine, because digitization is, you know, something that I work on. But overall, as far as the space industry, I mean, so much is happening. And we're living in a really challenging world right now, and there are a lot of tensions. And
lots of stuff going on everywhere.
And most importantly, the development and the progress. We're very polarized right now, and I'm not meaning our country, because I know we have a lot of discussions about polarization and all of that, but in a geopolitical sense, we are living through some serious, serious tensions, and the space plays a key critical role in it. And while I do have faith that we, the people, we'll eventually build better systems, I do regularly have to sit down and meditate and let myself say, okay, there, it's not just the faith, it's actually the doing, and there are people, and we're all working on it, because our adversaries, China, are progressing in a very frightening way.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, and the thing is, it's, you know, there's, you know, all the stuff that's happening with in Israel and Iran and Russia and Ukraine and Taiwan and China, all this stuff. I mean, you need one misstep and nothing good happens, right?
Yeah. But I don't think it's time yet. This is the wishful thinking we have in order to, you know, continue living and not collapse and
Well, that's it. I mean, we got all these opportunities, you know, look at space, right? We got 6 billion Earth-like planets in the Milky Way galaxy, estimated 2.2, 2.3 trillion galaxies in the universe. We're a medium-sized galaxy. There's a lot of stuff to explore. Yeah. We haven't even started yet, but we better start figuring out how to get along down here before we try going to space, right?
Well, so there's the different schools of thoughts about it. Some people believe that maybe it is really hard to change the dynamics that already exist, and that maybe there is an opportunity to bring peace through space. But so, you know, it's interesting. We will see. But I think that the most important thing right now we have to think about is how do we build countermeasure to our adversaries? And I know it's not the most funnest thing to think about, but it is very important. And I do think that to build countermeasure to our adversaries, we have to understand digitization, and we have to understand what it means, and we have to facilitate it, especially as it comes to lunar development. We're going, you know, Artemis Accord, we're going out there and we're signing up people to say, yes, we're together, but what infrastructure are we providing for them? China provides infrastructure. Their digital yen, it has the stack for the in-space settlement. And that in-space settlement actually allows you not only to do the transactions that are monetary, but non-monetary transactions. Because digital transaction, whatever you want to call it, whether it's dollar, whether it's Bitcoin or whatever value, or maybe it is an information, maybe it's selling a bit of a molecule for something else. It is key critical to have that on the moon, and the U.S. right now has no plan for it. One of the best things that I've heard so far was that we will just build countermeasure CBDC, which would be a centralized system and carry based on the art of war and our basic counter strategies, you cannot build countermeasure to CBDC with CBDC. It cannot be a central system because obviously the totalitarians have a better ability to build centralized control systems.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. So when are you going to start working on it, Irina?
I'm working on it already. I've been working on it from the day I got into the space industry. For the most part, it was in my mind, building conversations, trying to understand where we are and how everything is working. As we're getting closer now to having more assets in space, as we are moving closer to China, running their prototype, I think we're almost to a point where we will see a lot of growth in that area.
No,
but
that's
I'm great. Working on it. I actually just this year I had my in-stealth company, and just this year I came out. It's called Altara Settlements, and it is focused on that, building the digital infrastructure for space. So it's Lumeria's one of the Lumeria's portfolio companies, but it is founded by me. I'm sole founder.
Oh, there you go. That's great. Well, you may be the first $1 billion company with one person.
Yeah. We'll see. So what's interesting about it is that as I've been going through internal processes of how do I come out, because the countermeasure, the competition is China. It's not Ethereum, it's not Onyx by JP Morgan, because they're centralized. It is China. And I actually, Gary, had to sit down, and me and GPT chat, we had a really good discussion. And then of course my husband too with me, but about, you know, how do you empower yourself to go and do things that are scary? And it is scary to be able to go and say, okay, me, I'm going to go and I'm going to try to build this countermeasure to the system that wants to control humanity, that wants to change the systems of our Western world. I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit frightening. Because who am I? I'm a little bug that can just get smooshed. But, you know, it's interesting to see that there are many, many people that are supporting me, and people that have so much knowledge and experience. And as I've been thinking about it, as it takes traction, I actually want to be able to say, make it independent from myself, and eventually step out to where you can kill my body, but you cannot destroy the work that has been built. And I think it sounds really huge, but you know, with my mitochondria experience of constantly being destroyed by my own government and living in totalitarian regime and coming into the freedom, I think we always have to be very truthful with ourselves, is that we are disposable. And if you step on the wrong path, somebody might try to dispose of you. Mm-hmm. And so how the fear of control, but I am not fear. The fear is something that empowers us.
No, it's, I mean, this whole idea of the, you know, the space infrastructure going down through and looking at, you know, things like, what kind of cybersecurity protocols, what kind of ground station and terrestrial networks do you need to be able to support that kind of transmission? You know, what about data centers in space, right? These data intensive, because there's going to be a lot of data intensive operations.
Yep.
And, you know, they need to be closer to the data sources. So where are those going to be, inter-satellite communications and how to protect them, right? So yep. You know, creating those mesh networks to be able to allow yep. the satellites to transfer the data, you know, between yep. themselves and back to Earth, you know, and how do we ensure they're going to be reliable and they're going to be fast, right? And then, you know, I don't know, they're going to be, Do you think there's going to be like drones? There's going to be groups of satellites that work together to, you know, as a team, basically to amplify signals, to share sending that information to Earth. You know, I know that Starlink is doing this and Galileo is doing a little bit with it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's more of a communication to Earth. When I think about digital infrastructure in space, I think about the digital infrastructure that's designed specifically to support the infrastructure that is the comprehensive infrastructure in space. And low Earth orbit and geo is kind of harder to think about because we're so close to Earth. It's kind of like, well, I can just send the signal and it's fine. Once we move on to lunar, my concerns are is that it's expensive to communicate, and two, there are a number of service providers. There's all of these different companies, there's all of these different agencies, there's all of these different countries, and each of them need to be able to interact with each other in a complex way. So the smart handshake agreement is actually something that is very complex, and we do not have infrastructure set up for it whatsoever. Right now, this is how it works. We just pre-settle everything that we're going to do on Earth, and then we're going to go there and we're going to just test it out, because let's face it, it's still all a miracle. We still haven't been able, since long, long time ago, we still haven't been able to properly land on the moon, right? We tilted on the moon a couple of times, and yeah, we crashed into the moon a couple of times, but we still haven't, though I'm not worried about it. I understand that eventually we will come. And so as we come as a suite of companies, as we come as a suite of different solutions, most of the transactions and cooperation that's going to be happening is already pre-settled here on Earth. So a lot of people are not thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have to understand is that always there's going to be edge cases. And if we want to scale, we have to build the system from the beginning. We can't wait and be like, wait, I need to be able to make this transaction, whatever it is, whether it is a communication between two assets. And also, how does that communication look?
Mm-hmm.
What is in that handshake agreement? Handshake agreement is probably the most interesting and complex thing that we can design. Mm-hmm. What is those permissions? You know, I often think about, Gary, about harmonization of space. And I think it's important that harmonization of space is led by America, and it's led by US company. And so what does harmonization of space means? I think it means that even if our adversary is in a time of need, we need to be able, if proper things are happening, to be the supporting infrastructure in which they can integrate. For that, we need complex handshake agreements. For that, we need to have a digital infrastructure. We need to be able to utilize the opportunity that allows us to harmonize. And then, of course, the batches can be sent to GEO and to LEO and eventually settle on Earth. But it needs to be in an independent digital infrastructure.
No, that's fascinating. Listen, Arita, we're coming to the top of the show. We'll have to do a part two on this about space. We'll set it up. It's great seeing you today. I appreciate it. What are your closing thoughts, and how do people get a hold of you?
Well, my closing thoughts is that everything is accelerating. The world is getting faster and faster. And I think the most important thing is to sit down with your fear and your doubts, digest it, and then try to find positivity in your life. Look around into your immediate reality. Don't get caught up in all of the conditioning of the fear and doubt that there is. We the people still are we the people, and humanity to thrive has to utilize on that. And so be positive, hug your loved ones, and then do something productive.
No, I agree.
And then, yeah.
And how do people get a hold of you? What's the best way?
You can just Google me and find me, Arita Litchfield, and you can find me, message me on LinkedIn or wherever. I'm As always, I am pretty available. Just if you are reaching out to me, please let me know what it is about, because that gives me context and I can then get you into the proper route and schedule the proper conversation.
Sounds great. Thanks for your valuable time today, Irina. And thanks to all my guests for joining one more time. GST presents Silicon Valley AI and Tech. My name is Gary Fowler. I'm your host. Stay happy, stay safe, and stay healthy. And I'll be back to you again soon with another exciting edition. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Irina.
Thank you.